welcome to Cast and Crank Podcast. Today we have Bobby Martinez.
Thanks for having me.
And we got a co-host today, Eric Bent from SWBA.
Hey, good morning.
And we're going to have this will be a cool one, Bobby. Bring a lot of cool stuff. So if you're listening on the internet or watching on the internet, we'll have a giveaway probably around 11:30, but no one's going to hear this right now. So. But he's really cool. We really appreciate him coming on and bringing all this stuff. So the first question we like to ask is, how did you get into fishing?
Whew. All right. Started a long time ago. Bobby was, probably 6 years old, maybe seven. And my dad don't fish. And I'll get to that in a minute because it's a cool story. But and definitely my mom doesn't fish. But it happened because my mom was very Catholic. And, you know, we had a church little event in the summer. And we went to Leg Lake. Mm-hmm. But we were on the other side, you know, where there's no water. And they said, hey, you know, we played volleyball, this and that. And then, hey, we're going to go across. You guys want to go fishing? I'm like, yeah, let's go fishing. You know, what's fishing? Walked over there and, you know, summertime. Back then, the bluegill would school up and you see them. That's what I was watching. Yeah, I didn't know what they were. I was like, oh, look, there's fish everywhere, you know. And, and man, something happened that day. It just, you know, really stuck to me. And, yeah, that's pretty much how I got started. And literally, it took me like probably 2 years. Mm-hmm. I remember I had just done my first communion. And the reason I remember that, because I think I wore the same clothes the next day to the park. And I caught my first bluegill.
Wow. And was that with the help of someone or was it?
No. Well, sort of. I mean, like, because let me go back a little bit. My mom would take me every so often to the lakes and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I'd say, hey, come, can you take me? Come on. Oh, you got to go to church or you got to learn your timetables.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And so, you know, she would take me and, you know, off and on. And I didn't know what I was doing, just walking around. And I remember one, I seen these younger guys and they go, hey, little man, catch anything? I go, nope. And he's like, what are you using for bait? And I think I just pulled up like a bobber and a hook tied real janky. And he's like, dude, you have no bait. So he pulls in this coffee jar, pulls out some like earthworms, not night crawlers, but earthworms. And I was like, whoa. And the rest was history, man. I just grabbed worms and it was game on. Yeah. And
I wonder how many kids' first fish was a bluegill.
You know? Yeah.
So many.
I mean, it's so.
My kids, it's like, mine, it's so easy to go and just get a bluegill, you know?
And they torque for their size.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they just like, you know, go around and, you know, like a baby yellow.
Spider-Man pole, dude. I had my middle one. He learned how to cast everything on his own.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's so awesome. That's pretty much how, you know, I started, you know. But, no family, nobody really fished, so.
So as you got older, you started getting a little more serious?
Early, before I was 10, one of my aunts married this one guy for a while, and he wanted to go fishing. So, you know, this is pre-internet, pre-this, that. Hey, let's go to the ocean. I'm like, okay. And we did it. Like, I mean, I started from the bottom. like I told you earlier, walking the Cabrillo Wall and getting washed, like, you know, getting, you know, when the waves, you know, just whack us, you know, that's right crazy. Off the rocks. And you know, we were doing that dumb stuff, you know.
That's a but long was, walk out
it's
there
it's a
too.
Long walk too, you know, just to come back with like grunion or smelt and just opal eye, nothing you can eat. Just
all an adventure.
Yeah, it was all an adventure, you know. Sitting on the pier all night to catch nothing or like a few baby halibut. You know, just I really did it the hard way, you know. There's just there wasn't all the internet and stuff. And I did remember this one book, I think it was called Hookup or something, the blue. And I was like, whoa, guess what? All the landings were there. So what does my uncle do at the time? Hey, we just started like picking and just started driving and going fishing and exploring.
Awesome. Yeah.
And that was cool. So he opened my eyes to like, you know, like, you know, just gave me little bits and pieces here. We didn't know what we were doing on the boats. I mean, but
it's funny you mentioned that book. I was just talking to a neighbor. I remembered as a kid, he had it on a shelf. Yeah. Oh, I'd go play with his son. And it was called Hookup by Charlie Davis.
Dude, that book was before its time. It was, it's really amazing.
It's like, hard to find
all that stuff, that the information that was there. Yeah. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. You know? So we just go there. The address, the phone number was there. And then Well, before we got to the boats, we start, you know, the barge in Redondo, yeah, fish there all night, dragging a sack and a half of mackerel off the thing. Why? I think the Voyager used to take me still there in Redondo. Yeah, and then I think the sharpshooter, three-quarter out of Redondo there.
I think my dad and we did that several times. Can you do that? And he'd bring home these barracuda that had a gunny sack all day. And my mom was like, "What do you want me to do?" So it ended up being fertilizer, like for the garden.
Really good. I forgot what time, like the last boat, you know, to bring you back. But we'd wait till the end, and then we'd clean mackerel all day just to give them away. It was just, I don't know, but it was fun.
Good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, every once in a while, if we caught a bonita, you know, on the old, like even on the barge, we'd use that bubble, you know, the when you put water in with the little fly, you throw it out there, or just a chove, you can get it out there in the current. And, you know, that was pretty cool to catch a bonita there was a big thing back then. And actually, even in the breakwall, we used to, you know, that little bubble that's in Redondo, you know, you can catch some pretty big bonita back then. There would be every so often some yellows, nothing big, but, you know, some nice yellows.
Mix it up.
From the rocks, that was pretty cool, killer. You know.
From the rocks, that's a
From the rocks, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I really started from the ground level, you know, just it was really like, Jesus.
But tell us a little bit about your party boat stuff. Like, when you, because you were with a lot of party boat
experience. Oh, yeah. So after that, like, they woke up a monster in me. Like, I just, I mean, you know, I met good friends, you know, like on the boats. Like, hey, you come here a lot. It's like, I'll tell you what, just don't worry about pay. Just come on.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, I met that they're still great friends to me now. They've even helped me tournament fishing, you know, with information and, you know, like, I discuss things with them and, you know, they give me different outlooks and stuff. But, yeah, like I literally was religiously every weekend warrior on a boat, mostly lot Marina Del Rey, but I literally San Pedro, like, you know, during those big sand bass spawns, you know, doing doubles and triples, you know, morning run, half, you know, the evening, nighttime. We're fishing tubes back then too, like on the Monte Carlo, these chartreuse tubes and with the chovy or a strip of barracuda and or the scampi and the long strip of barracuda belly. Get that barracuda because it lasts forever. So, yeah, like I learned a lot of cool little, you know, for sport boat, you know, little savvy little things, you know.
It's a whole different art. The bomber jigs.
The bomber jigs, you know, I just posted those the other day. Like, you know, the whole bomber jigs. We go to Clemente, you know, we were fishing on the Shogun with Norm. You know, he was in Pedro before. And, dude, lead hitting squid, I was like, oh, my God. Or a tatty, was it a double A or with the single sidewash hook? Uh-huh. You put a couple squid, two or three. Uh-huh. And it was game on, you know.
Long rod,
long 9 foot, you know, saber's a noodle, but, it, you know. And, yeah, I did have the squitters. And guess what? Everybody. People forget. The nail polish on the edge of the spool so it doesn't eat your line was a trick, right?
That's right.
I even had one of those pins with the little transmission on it for yellowtail, like to speed it up.
The real deal, right?
The real deal, yeah. Because back then, everything was a none to one. You couldn't catch a yellow, you know? It's just, they're too slow. You get them to follow, they just... But not with that thing.
Yeah, that's right. That external transmission.
Yeah,
the
external transmission.
You see one of those every once in a while.
Dude. So... Like amazing. I said, I got to experience a lot of cool stuff, old, you know, and now there's new stuff. Like, it's still intriguing to me. Like,
this I think, you know, like, everything now, you know, you hear sport boat,
yeah,
long range, this, and, you know, everything's really technical. But that art of sport boat fishing is a whole story in and of itself.
Yeah, and I did it like a lot of the guys, too, you know, like in the backyard, you know, with the clothes hanger, pull it out to try it. Because before, what we had was straight anchovy.
Yeah.
Straight anchovy. There was, you'd never seen a sardine.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're lucky, you saw squid, but it was straight pinhead chovy. You know, you had to collar hook it, butt hook it, or do the little nose thing. And, you know, it was, you know, Andy Tournament, 12-pound, pink.
Pink, yeah.
Pink, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know why I was fishing Andy Tournament. I'm not trying to break any. And just like,
super limp.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, the pink was, you know, a big thing back then. Yeah. You know, the pink Andy.
I still think there's something to that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, they say that, you know, red is the first color that disappears in the water. So, you know.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind
And then I was thinking on my way here.
Yeah.
You'd know this way more than I, because I never went on one. But I remember, I don't know if it was the Mirage or the name of the boat that either ran out of Oxnard or Ventura or that came down and fished the deep hole at night for calicos only. Do you remember those trips?
You know, I do, but I did it later on. I missed a lot of that cool stuff. I know my friends did go, and I just heard some amazing stories. Yeah. And I mean, it was epic up there. I mean,
Harrison's Reef, right?
Harrison's, okay. Yeah, Deep Hole. Gotcha. Which, I mean, it's really called the Deep Hole, but mm-hmm. for some reason it just, you know, to go back, I even did, you guys probably won't remember him, but there was a kayak guy. His name was Spike.
I do. Okay, yeah.
So check this out. So he's
Spike,
like,
no, Evans, no.
I can't
remember. The beard. Yeah.
Beard, yeah. Husky dude. Yep, yep. And he was probably one of the first guys doing kayak stuff. I'll go out. I think he was, but don't correct me. But yeah, it was a long time ago. He was one of them for sure. Yeah. So guess what he was doing? Hey, we're going County Line. We're going to beach launch and go fish the Deep Hole.
Oh.
And he knew I had a boat. It was 1996, 97, right before El Nino. Wow. He's like, hey, can you bring us bait up here? I was like, well, sure, but I want to launch my kayak too. You know, I want to be in the mix. I don't want to be the barge. So, we fished up there. We didn't do as good, but there's some big calico bass. I know now it has more sand bass on it, you know, for some reason or another.
Interesting.
But
that's a long ways. I always say that place kind of protects itself.
Because it's absolutely.
It's not that far to come from Oxnard, but it can be a hell of a ride getting back.
Going up. Yeah, you're going to get beat up. And it's far. It's 26 probably miles from Delray. 27. At least 27. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm still wanting to go.
I know. Why not? Remember a few years ago when that sea bass bite was up there?
Yeah.
And it was like all you wanted, you know, but you had it run almost 30 miles to get there.
30 miles to
get there. I saw, like, I think it was Steve Greenis and Avo.
Yeah.
They had a video up for a while on YouTube. You could probably still find it. Yeah. It was just like one after another after another. And they were all 30-ish pounders.
Oh, they're all big. And the yellows mix in, by Neptune's Net. Yeah.
That's kind of a cool zone up there.
Yeah, it's a real, it's, that zone still doesn't really get.
And that's up towards
Oxnard? It's north of Point Doom and south of Point Magoo, right?
There's a couple MLPAs now, so a lot of that stuff, unfortunately, lost.
Did you ever fish Laguna before they had MLPA?
Yeah.
Was it even good? I mean, me as a shore fisherman, it was awesome. Before, when I started, I think it was like a couple years before the MLPA.
Yeah. And I fished it just because of like Eric's tournaments. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just pulled everybody out of their comfort zone. It's like, hey, we're gonna have a tournament here, and it's like, I don't even know where that's at.
But
you know,
it wasn't like a...
I really didn't fish it that much. Oh, I mean, Eric could probably tell you a lot more than I can about Laguna.
I mean, I could never really figure it out. Really? To be honest, I mean, I go down there and catch a lot of small fish on hard baits or jerk shads and things, and I enjoyed it. But guys like Benny or Jack, and then also like Seacrest, Oatesbury, those dudes, they knew where the big rocks were, and they would just pound it and be at the right place at the right time, and an 8-pounder, you know. That place has the bottom composition. You know, there's a deep water canyon right off there, so it's a really fertile spot, but the spots are really small, and it just, you know, you got to be at the right place at the right time. Yeah. So it's not like La Jolla or Point Loma, which I'm sure have those spots, but you can kind of, Point Loma and La Jolla, if it looks fishy, it probably is. Yeah. Everything in Laguna or Corona del Mar, my experience, it all looked fishy, but very little bit of it was.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. That's just my take.
I feel the same way. Like I said, grew up fishing Crystal. Well, not grew up. My fishing career has been down south more.
Yeah, I love it still.
Yeah. It looks fishy, but it doesn't yield out very much. No. Like, at least it didn't for me.
No. Sure, 3-pounder, yes.
Yeah, 3-pounder is probably a giant. I mean, for me to hook, you know, if I were able to still fish there.
I caught my PB there. So.
Oh, really?
From the shore.
And the world record came from there, too. So
really?
Yeah, that 14 came right out of Newport Harbor, like right out in front there.
So wow.
In that zone, anyways.
How long ago was that?
I wouldn't know. I think early 80s, mid 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
14.7 or something like that.
That's huge. What was how big was the one you had in that picture?
Oh, it was just a high 9.
That's a high nine.
That's all. No big deal.
People was, fish all their life and never get one close to that.
Well, you know what happened was during that time, I was seen looking at monsters being caught like around me there. You know, like I had a buddy, Chris Bone, down the way. He's waiting for me to get to the island. He's like, dude, I got a 9-pounder. Look. I'm like, oh, wow. You know?
Yeah.
And then we ran up and I took a big poncho with me and we're fishing and hey, you know, his mentality is, I want a 10 pounder. I go, dude, if you catch a 7 or 6 or 8, that's a nice fish. Why does it have to be a 10 pounder? You know, but you know, he's adamant about wanting to, you know, fish over 10, whatever. And he sticks one and I'm like, oh, wow, that's a big one. And sure enough, I scoop it, and I was like, I think he got his 10. But no, it was a 9-something also. Wow. Oh, man. But just a few minutes after, we were just in this one little cove, and they were, it just, it was like a 4-pounder, 5-pounder, and they were just getting bigger, getting bigger. And then my old partner at the time, Kenny, sticks one. And this thing is a giant. I mean, it's a, I want to say it's probably about a 12-pounder. Because, and the reason I say that, because when he hooked it, I mean, it just pulled so hard, like super hard. I can see his vein almost coming out, you know, like, I'm like, whoa, he's not breathing. And I'm like looking at him, looking at the rod. I'm like this. I go, I better get the net. Like, yeah, this is going to, because there's kelp in between. So what does it do? Go straight in the kelp, right? Damn. Just hang tight. I drive it like I leapfrog right over the kelp, like just like dove on it, came to the bow. I scooped right under that thing, seen the head and the spikes. I mean, this thing was a giant because I just netted Poncho's 9-something, right? Yeah, this thing's just – so I do this right underneath the kelp, and I'm coming up, and guess what he does? He lowers the rod tip, and he just goes bleep, and then swims off. Oh, my. I think he was just going to faint on me. I looked at him, and I was like, man, I'm so sorry. Oh. It got pretty quiet after that. And guess what? That whole cove that bit for like 30 minutes, done. Just done.
Oh, wow. My God.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How heavy a line are you using when you're out there?
For calicos?
Well, I mean, even that day, what were you using? Like, what was?
I was fishing rope. I'm not going to lie. I think it was like 65 to like 40 or 50 pound. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of finesse for the most part when I'm doing stuff like that. And, you know, now there's some really cool stuff out, you know, that I've been tinkering with. You know, Daiwa came out with this abrasion-resistant braid. So now I'm just going to just, you know, tie a Palomar knot straight to my beast hook and stuff and, you know, try to yank them out, you know, because that fluoro helps but also hurts you. You know what I mean? When
you think?
Y'all. Well, when there's kelp.
Yeah.
See, we haven't had kelp really for the most part for a couple of years, so I've been using it. But when it's heavy kelp, you know, I'll either do something like straight braid or I'll just do like a heavy leader, like 80 pound. Yeah. Know? Sorry. Like I just do something.
Like the slug. I still fish slug, the slug. Yeah. I know that's kind of fallen off the popular list, but 80 to 80. I went to Cedros for like 3 or 4 days.
Perfect.
One rod, one knot. Yeah. Actually crimped it. And the whole week never, or 3 or 4 days, whatever it was.
Perfectly.
One time, you know, and they didn't, they weren't line shy on that, but, but that's the slug. You're burning it across the
top. Yeah.
So when did you, so party boat up until what point? And then like, I know you still go out, but like when did you get a boat?
Well, it was right before El Nino. I remember that clearly. Like, well, take it back. I had one way before El Nino. Like,
what was your first one?
It was a Crestliner. Perfect. But the fiberglass one, like the one with the window that, you know, flips open in the front and, you know, that one, you know, carpet. Nice. You know, I was out there horseshoe kelp catching barracuda. I'm like, what am I doing? How am I going to get all the slime off this? You know, it's carpet.
I hear my boat, you know, just ripped all the carpet out because mine, it's a low. So, same thing type of thing. It's like,
so I had one of those and you know, I didn't know what I was doing. It's like I'd ask the bait guys, hey, where am I going? Oh, just go to horseshoe, go this direction, you know, on your compass, and you'll find it. I'm like, okay. You know, there was kelp back then that would grow up on it too, though.
Oh,
you know?
That's right. So, the shoe did have kelp. You know, I remember that.
Right? So
you could find it easier.
You could find it, So, you know, stuff like that, that's what I did, you know, every weekend too, you know, just to try to figure it out. And it took me a while. It wasn't until like in the late 90s when I was really like just really exploring it, doing stuff like island fishing and you know,
first boat did you take to the island?
Yes, I did.
How big was it?
It was a 17 and a half.
What size motor?
It was an inboard, outboard, like a, Jesus, I don't even know what.
A Buick V6.
It was an inline. It was inline.
Straight six.
Yeah, it was a straight six. It was a Ford.
Everyone and going, can I do it? In my book.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking.
Let's see how he added that. 17 and a half.
Yeah.
That half?
Yeah, you're good.
My wife's heard Eric's story. She's like, you're not fucking going anywhere.
Yeah. I'll wait till she hears my story. I
know. That's what I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. I mean, one day that's like my goals. I want to try to get that. But I mean, I would probably go with someone because just in case.
Well, you know, nowadays too, I mean,
the motors are a lot more efficient and reliable.
Efficient, reliable. You know? And then we have internet these days. Like, I mean, I hate to just keep bringing that up, but like everything's in, like, at your, you know, grab your phone and just, you know, look at the weather and just don't look at one, look at three or four, you know?
Yeah. That's a good advice.
You know what I mean? It's not always going to be identical to what you're reading, but you know, you could pick, hey, little to no wind today, dude, you can go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can kind of figure it out a little bit.
You know?
So what you did some long range trips too. And
long range. Oh, so check this out. So right before Fred Hall, this is what I would do.
Uh-huh.
I'd look at the list and I had to book my trips before Fred Hall because they would book up.
Yeah. At, you know, Fred Hall, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So I would do like my 5-day Guadalupe, do an 8-day Lejos, do, you know, do a couple like 3 days. I had it down to like, okay, July is too early. Like the fish sometimes aren't here. We might be Cal Patty fishing. We're down below. It's like, August, whew, game on. So get a couple 2 days, 3 days right in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, October, give me a 5-day, you know.
Like, nice.
So I headed down. I really couldn't leave because at that time I had a family, so I really couldn't leave like those 14, 18 days that I really wanted to do, you know. But, you know, 10 days was the max, you know, which was pretty cool.
That's a long time. That's a long time, dude.
It's a long time to be away, yeah.
What if there's someone you don't like on the boat?
Well, trust me, it's, you know, or just get bottom bunk or whatever. Like, you know, like I was picking the ones that were a little cheaper too, you know, you know, and that's the thing. I you know, I was like, this one's a lot cheaper, you know, but guess what? There are bunks. There are no staterooms. No, you know, like you get that bottom bunk, you're just smelling his shoes the whole trip, you know, everything. It's pretty
exhaust
bad,
fumes,
you know?
Back in those days.
Yeah. So like
things have changed on those boats. They're so nice.
Oh yeah.
Nice,
it's changed.
Now.
Yeah. The food, everything. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? We didn't eat burgers, you know, eat burgers for 10 days straight. You know? Yeah. You know?
Breakfast burritos and burgers.
Yeah. No, nowadays these guys got real chefs and gourmet meals. You know, they're doing sushi. Like, it's different level stuff now. Yeah. I don't do that kind of fishing no more. Just.
Do you still have the gear?
Oh, yeah. Nice. I have some, not all of it, you know, because that stuff was getting like, you know, just look at the tackle these days. You know, just. Like, why use something that's a 50 wide when you can go, you know, these you know, smaller.
Did you chase the bluefin around a little bit the last few seasons?
I did it because I was trying to stay focused in my tournament thing. That was my goal. That was my whole goal from even doing tournaments. It's not for nobody else, just for me, just to really compete with these guys. I really think these guys are really, really good fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, phenomenal fishermen, you know. It's a shame we all can't fish, you know, like it's dropped off, but honestly I think these guys are amazing.
Yeah,
seriously. And I, for my own personal goals, like from, you know, doing the whole sport bowl thing and everything else, I really wanted to challenge myself and compete with these guys. And let me tell you, when I started, I was totally lost, like very lost.
Yeah,
like the only time I can get to a podium was helping Eric set up, you know. You know,
should give you a trophy for
you know, you know, the only thank you I got was so you know, I just set personal goals and you know what I mean, put the blinders up for my own, you know, didn't even get a girlfriend, no nothing, just, you know, I was straight. Just like straight, just I'm just gonna just do Bobby. Just
one thing, you know? About Bobby and your partners in the past, and keep them all, you guys, tight, because it's a team thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was
they always, you know, you hear about the crossover. Oh, spinner bait and the swim bait, it's a freshwater. So these guys definitely took it, you know, beyond that and dove into it. I would hate to see your tackle warehouse bill.
Or
anywhere.
Like,
you know,
literally, I paid with my wallet. And you know what I mean? Like, just because people say, oh, he gets stuff for free, he's sponsored. Like, no, I spent some money. And I can still prove it. Like, my garage is judged. And just because stuff that, I'm not saying doesn't work, just stuff I wanted to, hey, let me try this.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yep. And it still might work. It just, I didn't figure out how to, you know, make
it's
it
funny.
Work for
I was talking to him one day, and I was going to go down to the river, and we said, yeah, Billy Skinner's got this swim bait for freshwater called a cheater. Oh, dude, I've got like a case of those. I'll send them to you. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And, why did you buy them? I haven't been to the lake in probably like 2 years.
Oh,
but I just seen certain things, and I was like, wow, I could see where that will work in certain applications, you know?
And through that, you've seen his results and his contest finishes go like really, really high. And I won't say it's directly for a bait, but I think his ability to stay open-minded and build upon, when that comes with, you know, trying different techniques.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I won't let any cats out of the bag because I don't even know what cats are in the bag. Yeah. But
you know what? Even if I try to keep a cat, I mean, it just, it switches anyway. Like,
it does.
Next year, that application doesn't really work. Doesn't even work. So it's like, I don't even mind letting it out, you know, if they want to hear it, you know.
Yeah. And there's a lot of speculation. I mean, I was going to tell this story. It was funny. This is true. Mike Wynn from Turner's Classic. Yeah. Years ago, I mean, this is 15 years ago. We'd have a little bay tournament, and I'd practice. Like, that's going to really help the week or a few days before.
Yeah, yeah.
And guys would be at the launch ramp, and they'd come over to your boat and look in your, you know, and yeah, see what you're, yeah, you've had tied on. So I'm like, screw that. I tied on a Carolina rigged rip bait. I'd have a drop shot with some big lizard hanging off of it, right? And I'd throw all this bogus stuff, and they'd come in and double take and scratch their head like, what the?
Yeah.
But you'd see them pretend like they weren't looking at your stuff, and then I'd go and cut it all off and tie on a swim bait or a grub, you know, the typical yeah, stuff. Well, one yeah, time Mike Wynn comes in. He's like, were you really Carolina rigging a rip bait? And I said, no. And he goes, damn it. I knew it. He goes, I went out and I got my Carolina rig rods and I put on a TD minnow. And he goes, yeah, I looped him over the mussel beds in Newport. He actually ended up doing well in a tournament with a bait setup that I was just kind of throwing, trying to be a bogus deal on. And so it just shows you that,
yeah,
like, all bets are off the table. Like,
no, yeah, dude. Definitely.
Carolina rig.
You see some
rig,
of the stuff that people are catching now. It's like, yeah, with what they're using, it's like,
oh yeah. Man. Well, just I mean, look at. Well, I mean, I fished for so long. I've seen more big fish in the last probably 5 years than I've seen all my life of fishing. You know, especially sport boats. I'm talking like, you know, tanks of squid. You know, San Clemente Island. Yeah. You know, and just like go at it, boys. Like, and they're just coming over the rails.
Why do you think that is? Do you think the techniques, fishermen, or
technique for yep, sure?
Yeah,
those fish are old.
Internet has to do. I mean. All the information you can get, like, but, you know, when you start, when I started,
but you still got to do
you
it.
You got to practice.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, time yeah, on the water. Yeah. That's yeah, what, yeah, you know, like Matt said, time on the, you know,
confidence like, too. In that bait, I think plays a lot, yeah, you know, like if you don't know, like, if, like, hey, you know, as soon as you see certain conditions, you're like, ooh, I can get this way in there. You yeah, know, it might happen right
but
here,
that
you
learning
know?
Curve, like yours, it might be, you know, shorter. So people get into that yeah, confidence quicker.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I don't know, want to throw the iron, but yeah, I'd rather throw the weedless so they get good at the weedless.
Yeah. You know, I was really complacent too. Like even, you know, sport boating, you know, like on a sport boat, you have 30 people or whatever. And okay, somebody goes to the bow, catches one on a jig. Okay, I'll go grab my jig. But it's the person who was first to do that is the guy that was thinking out of the box or yeah, just, you know, willing to try
even
something, you know.
Maybe he's doing something a little bit different than you are when
yeah,
fishing. He might be reeling it in just a little tiny bit.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
oh, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I met a lot of cool people, and they're just these little subtleties. You know, we called it the stutter step. You know, when you jig fish, you know, you just do a little wind, and you just do a little quick wind, and it just makes it, like, come off to the side. Or,
interesting.
You know,
and that's what
you know, we call it the stutter step. We had all these weird yeah, names, you know, just, right, like, right, on our own brain. We're thinking we're really, like,
yeah.
But it's just those little things that trigger that bite, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, instead of the fish just chasing it and it just doing this, you know, it made a difference. Yeah. You know,
it seems like with Calico, from sitting behind the scenes and watching the tournaments
yeah,
and no, the weigh-ins, when you hear the story of the big fish of the day or the big plural fish of the day, several, yeah, it seems like they're caught with something different or something unique happened. Maybe it was, I just saw something and I picked up a different rod and chucked that out there. Or it was a follower, and you know, I happened to have a swim bait on there. It doesn't seem like, oh, I knew there was going to be a big one there,
yeah,
so I went there and I hung it. It's always some offbeat, something different. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like with everything, you know, when someone has that weird thing, you know, usually works out.
Rarely well, do you see know? Bobby's an exception. Who else? Markhard and Kroos, the year they won at Catalina,
yeah,
they patterned it. Benny has patterned fish, mm-hmm, but a lot of times patterns in salt don't hold up like they do in fresh, in my opinion.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, guys just go fish and they follow the conditions, read the conditions, kind of go with what nature throws at them.
Yeah.
And Bobby's
yeah,
really good at that.
That's what
and
threw me
there's
off
a lot
a
of guys that are
too. You know, like I'll go out, you know, pre-fishing, for example. Like even if you go 2 weeks before the tides, everything's going to be different,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't get to dictate when tournament day is, right? They just pick a date, like, you know, they
yeah,
look at all, you know, all the other things going on, and you know, they pick the best date they can, and I just got to go and try to do something, whether there's low tide, no tide, high tide, you know, you just got to go with
it out, yeah.
So like if you're gonna pre-fish, yeah, you probably want to pick a day a month in advance or whatever that matches that day possibly,
yeah,
but most of the time that thing, I mean all the time really, it just never, it threw me off.
And what could change in a month is like,
oh yeah, there's. I mean,
but,
anything.
You know, like, I think maybe for the listeners out there too that aren't tournament fishermen or whatever, yeah, mm-hmm, it kind of plays into your regular fishing too. Because if
yeah,
you go out and say,
yeah,
hey, you know, so and so told me to go up to wherever, White's Point
yeah,
or Rocky Point,
mm-hmm,
they're biting. They've been biting. It's yeah, wide open. And you go up there, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
your ability to adapt, whether it's fun fishing or tournament fishing,
yeah,
I think can be a day saver. And mm-hmm. lot of like listening to your gut, you know, and
yeah,
following
for sure. And even though it's like low tide, full moon, bluebird skies, like it's going to be brutal, but there's still ways to catch fish, you know, you don't, you know, it's, and you know, that's, you know, like I said, you can have some big ones and you just need a fifth fish, you know, right. barely legal.
That little voice in your head, is, a lot of time is the, is the deal you need to listen to. A lot of times it's hard because you're like, oh, so-and-so said they're here. You know?
I mean, that's, yeah, definitely.
My dad, funny story, before a tournament at PV, which I suck at, I told my dad the night before, I said, by about 10 o'clock, I'm going to be gassed. You know, I set up and this and that and the other. I said, I'm going to ask you like what you want to do. And don't tell me, I don't care. So sure enough, 10 o'clock comes around in the morning. I go, dude, I'm gassed. What do you think? He goes, let's go up to, what is that? Haggerty's. And we're all the way down by the golf course.
Yeah.
Actually below the golf course at PV. And I go, I don't want to go all the way up there. And he goes, well, then why the hell did you tell me? I go, oh, you're right. You're right. Okay. So we jammed all the way to Rocky Point, got all the way. First cast, my dad gets a 4.5. In a tournament, that was a good fish for us.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, yes. And it was that little, you know, just knowing that I was going to be gassed and my thought process was going to be done for the day. And he was fresh. And he's like, let's just go up to Haggerty's.
I'm going to get a pen and a paper really quick so we can do the live questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. We're going to do some live questiones.
Let's do them.
Yeah. Are we on pause or are we still going?
Still going.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, I'm good right now.
So what? So how many boats have you had?
Whew, jeez.
Quite a few?
Yeah, had a few.
You had the Hydra Sports.
Had the Hydra Sport in like 97, you know, shared it with Caesar. And then before that, I had a Mako for a little bit. Oh, and then I bought this. I don't know why I bought this. It was a 33-foot Chris Craft wood boat. You know, it was just a lot of work.
Kept it in a slip.
Yeah, kept it in a slip. It was just too much work. Got
that's
rid of that
true
real quick.
Money pit.
Yeah, that is the money pit. And
thank you.
I had a Calabogie too. That was a cool little boat.
Yeah. Like I Heart Spotties.
Yeah. And
that's a Hobie Power Skiff, kind of.
Pretty much. Yeah. And that was a cool little skiff. Yeah. I spent way too much money on it.
You traveled down in Baja with any of those at all?
I didn't, but like it was going all over the place, you know, like places it probably shouldn't have been going, but
it's pretty.
It was your boats, would you restore yourself to?
Yeah, I always, that's one thing I always did, like, because I always bought used boats, you know, for the most part. And I pretty much just started gutting everything and rewiring everything just because I don't want to have problems, you know?
Dude, I mean, even with this new boat, I rewired.
Yeah, you know, toggle switches, this, that, they all go bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just got the better ones with the little boots on.
I learned that, trust me.
You know, spray it. You know what I mean?
It's
salt water's brutal.
Well, we'll open up. Anybody have any questions on our Instagram, hit us up for Bobby, and then we've got some prizes that we'll shoot your way.
Yeah, see how this works.
Got some pretty cool prizes.
So hit us up if you have any questions on Insta.
Nothing yet, huh?
No. I see. Who's on there? Matty Florentino's on. That was a good show with Matt. That was awesome.
Great. That was a great show.
Such a nice guy.
Here's one. Cast and Destroy. Hey, Bobby, what's your favorite preference on baits in these tournaments, plastics or hard baits? So that was from Cast and Destroy.
Yeah, that's
right.
That
right now, it's definitely a hard bait game. Like jerk baits, crank baits. I mean.
And why is that? What do you do?
You know, just. The way you could fish them, you know, like, for example,
speed
and just the areas that I could fish. For example, Santa Cruz, what I did there, I went up and I was fishing the beaches. That wasn't working out. Came into the points and was casting outwards, like on a crankbait, like a deep diving crankbait, and bringing it up that point. And I was sticking nice fish that way. You know, so it's just more versatile for me to fish different kinds of hard baits. You know, when I'm up on the beach, you know, jerking them
maybe
or
quicker,
burning them
maybe
quicker.
Like,
yeah. And I'm covering
different.
A lot of water,
exactly.
too. So, you know, I'm power fishing. So that's why
right
I say
on.
The hard bait game is.
Who's the next one?
Crod Jr. I'll call him K-Rod. What's your favorite search bait when you get to a new spot? That's a good one.
Oh, that's a great one. Search bait. I think just a small hard bait, you know, it'd be like a little Lucky Craft 128 SP. Anything with like a chrome finish, you know,
is that a jerk or is that a
crank?
It's
like a jerk.
Okay.
It's like a jerk bait, you know?
Yeah.
And tell you the truth, if I'm trying to find bigger fish, that SP minnow is hard to beat, especially for like $9.99.
Oh, yeah. Best deal,
you know,
ever,
best
man.
Durable, your run true, durable, yeah. True, straight yeah. out of the box. Just, I mean, they make cool colors and
cast good.
Yeah. And not just because Dai was like taking care of me, but I'm not lying. Like that is a great bait.
Comes
like,
with good hooks too.
Good, yeah. I mean, ready to go. Yeah. You know,
do you ever switch out?
I do.
Do you ever go to singles?
I do. Yeah, especially with the kelp, that was huge. I kept it kind of low for a little bit. I was like, well, if they don't want to listen, I'm not going to say nothing, you know. But, I did the owner single replacement when the kelp was there.
Right.
And I was almost, like, doing it on purpose. Like, I try to get it snagged a little bit, like, especially at PV and stuff. Like, get it snagged and then just rip it right through. And the fish would just come out and eat it after you just ripped it through the kelp. Nice. So that was almost like a little kind of... Yeah, that was a pretty big thing. You know, when the kelp was around pretty definitely, heavy, the single replacements on it, and it runs really good.
Nice. Here's another one from Brian, the OG Bales.
Yep.
What's your opinion on the, sorry, the screen's a little bit, local MPAs and you seen any increase in the fish density around those areas?
Well, I've only fished one MLPA legally at, at Catalina. And I was there with the biologist, and we caught a whole bunch of fish. And
you got to go with the biologist and go fish.
And go fish MLPA. And they wanted us to focus in this cove only, right at Two Harbors. Like, we want to stay here. I'm like, okay. So we caught a whole bunch of fish there, tagged them, everything. And then she goes, I go, well, how are you going to get research? Like, she's like, oh, I'm going to go diving. I'm like, well, fish are going to move.
Right.
She's like, no. These fish were really staying within 5-6 feet of each, of where they were caught. Like, and, she did a lot of research. She did it for over a year.
Wow.
I'll try to look it up and post it on my Instagram and so if people want to read it and stuff. But
super interesting.
Very interesting,
So would you say they got comfy?
Yeah. They just got comfy and maybe got a little dumb, from not being caught, it just,
interesting,
definitely.
And that was it too, near Two Harbors. Huh?
Two Harbors in the cove right there. And, it was phenomenal fishing. Phenomenal.
I bet.
Okay. Here's one. I don't know how many you guys want to do, but, Randy Steele from Steel Baits. Have you seen, that's kind
of
cool.
Oh yeah. I see some of your work. Amazing.
That's pretty cool that he's doing that. And it's a lot of work, but it's rad what he does.
I got some ideas to send you too, but
he wants.
I don't want
to
get him stolen either. No, I'm just kidding.
Randy wants to know, what's your favorite, bait for fishing the wall?
Oof. Favorite bait for big fish or just for any fish?
He didn't specify. Let's do both.
Let's do both. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, for big fish, I don't want to say this. tiki crawl. If you want to catch it, fish over 7 pounds.
Tiki crawl. That's like
if you could still get
them. Almost a taxidermied lobster, huh?
Dude, that's a it really. And I'll tell you, seen some fish coughing out. Big lobster, that's what's on the break wall. I mean, big fish is gonna eat something big, and
langosta.
That tiki crawl, that's a big bait fish for me. Like,
And what if you're taking like a newbie, like that just wants to catch fish? What are you gonna put him?
Oh, I'm gonna give him a jerk shot all day long. He's gonna have a ball, 30, 50 fish. He's gonna outfish me, but I'll have the 8-9 pounder by the end of the night. You know what I mean?
The best story I had ever had about this, as far as does that gulp work?
Yeah,
dude.
Oh, I was downsizing, lighting it up. And the person that was with me every single cast, and then tearing them up and throwing them on the bottom of my boat. And I was hot. This every fish attractor, you can name it. I would just take a piece and like pin it on my lead head, wacky rig, just the body of the gulp, throw it out there. Thunk. It didn't even matter. It was just.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty hard to beat. Like, literally. Dude, it should almost be illegal for us tournament guys. Like, seriously, because it just.
There was a little bit of rumbling
like
when we allowed it.
Yeah, at one point, they thought they were going to take. Because it's literally like cat. No, you don't even have to move it. They'll eat it. It's power bait.
I agree with you.
It's power bait.
Yeah.
Want to do one more?
How many do we have right now?
There's a handful. Yeah, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's do one more. Do 5, and then we'll do again at 12.
Okay.
Or 12, 15.
No, Jeff Levson doesn't get one. You got too many baits, guy.
Oh, he's trying to really ask the right question.
Okay, here you go. This one's cool. Kevin Peek. Oh, we're going to reconnect. But he said, Forget the calicos. What's the secret for big reds?
Woo!
Kevin Peake.
Everyone wants to know.
Because you fish, like we said, you're very versatile, so you do a lot of rock fishing.
Oh, I do. Dude,
you've seen the pictures on Instagram with your daughters. Yeah. Well, you know, a whole boat filled up.
Yeah, you know, I did a lot. Like, I didn't even touch that. Maybe we don't have time for that. But I used to rock cherry banks, all that stuff. I mean, that was some of my first, you know, ocean fishing was deep. Ganyon fishing, 15, 20 hook. You know, sash weights,
right.
9-0 reels, you know, and I enjoyed it. Maybe just seeing those big reds and cow cod and everything else come up. But yeah, it's just, I fish, I mean, I'm more comfortable in the bay and stuff like that, Santa Monica, but I just been fishing there like literally all my life, you know, just running
artificials, jigs, squid, combo,
everything, you know.
Yeah. So there's no secret.
When I take my kids, it's all bait, but, there's shallow stuff and there's deep stuff, and just like bass fishing, like, you know, that some of these spots are real weird. Like, you can come up to them and then, all right, get ready, don't mess it up, and do a good drift here. Like, you'll get one drift, and as soon as you pull those fish out, well, they might be bigger reds, like 5-pounders, and then you don't get a second bite. It's weird.
They get hip really quick.
They get hip like a sand bass. You know, when I roll it, I'm serious. People think they're real dumb. I mean, they kind of are, like, deep, you know, and elsewhere, but.
You know what's funny? Landisfine told me something different when I went fishing with him. And you can tell you.
They do eat the jig very well there, though.
He was, oh, really?
Compared to other places, you know.
But he was saying when he pulls up on the hard bottom areas in Santa Monica Bay, he doesn't like to pull
on them. On the side.
Off to
the side.
Yeah?
Same.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So a stealthy approach, is that too much?
No, it's just, you know, it's like.
But those are things that I think that people. How many people are really going to go convert on that method? You know,
yeah, no, and it's all good information. You know, take it with you, and by all means, explore your stuff.
And you'll never be allowed on this ever again, Eric.
No, it's you know, we do the same thing even with sand bass. You know, when we hook one, we'll just well it real quick, because when I drop it back, in my mind, I can't tell you if this is really happening, but what I think is the way these fish send out like. A feeding frenzy signal, you know, in their own, you know, in their feeding. I also think when he gets hooked and I send him back down, like he sends distress. Out like a distress.
Yeah,
this is what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah. This is like Avatar,
but,
dude.
But I have in summer, I've seen like, you know, come over a rock and it's just lit up. I'm like, oh, hang on. It's going to. And then it's like, why did they just stop biting? I was like, let me try something. Work? Yes, at times.
You think not, it does sometimes.
Well, that's a freshwater technique, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Guys will fish on the... Yeah,
pull the male out, you know, just to get the female to move up. And,
Or else just like you're killing the vibe. They go back all wired up and spooked out.
I mean, that's what I think. But I mean, don't...
don't quote
me. We can't have a bass on the podcast that really ask him that question.
But, oh, that's cool.
You know,
so big... Go ahead.
Oh, I was something I wanted to ask you. I thought for the listeners out there that don't have private boats, aren't tournament guys or whatever, maybe I fished some party boats, not nearly as much as you did when I was younger. As if a kid's going to, or a guy's going to, gal's going to walk onto a sport boat and fish bass, whether it's sand bass or calicos. Right. What are some tips that you might give them, whether it's at the island or maybe some of the hard bottom spots,
I mean,
to maybe just kind of increase, not just their success, but the fun.
Yeah, just the fun of it. I definitely mix it up and buy some baits, like get a weedless, get a hard bait.
Huh?
Yeah, hard bait for sure. But I would definitely do single hooks on the hard bait because the deckhands are going to be upset at you with treble hooks.
Gotcha.
Dangerous. But
what kind of single hooks do you like to use?
I like the owner replacement hooks, you know. Those things are... tough.
They're
They're replacement single hooks. Yeah.
And are they called? Are they a certain number?
No, they're just replacement hooks. They're called replacement hooks.
Do they come in different sizes, or
they do? Okay. They do come in big size. I mean, the guys fish in the flat folds are adding those as well. You know, I use them on like quite a few hard baits, even some small hard baits.
Wow.
I learned my lesson a few months ago. Like I was at Catalina, I was like, I pulled out one of my smaller hard baits. And we're catching everything, like literally, like because there's bait balls like pushing in. So you don't know if you're gonna hook a bonita, a bass, a barracuda. I hooked a yellow, and then I bent the hooks. Had I had my little replacement hooks, I don't bend that hook.
Wow.
You know, I would have landed.
They're stout.
Yeah, they're very stout. Yeah. It's 30% stronger than like, you know, carbon steel owner hooks.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not gonna bend on you. It's they're itty bitty, you know, for smaller baits too, you know. So why not beef up your tackle? You know, it's I don't know why. Like I said, that was a dumb move on my part because I should know better. Like I've already lost a lot of big fish. I can't stress terminal tackle, like your split rings, your hooks, and, you know, beef up your stuff. It, you know, you grab a crankbait, it has a bronze hooks. I mean, come on, man. You know what you're doing right now, yeah, right? Yeah. He's like, oh, you know, I mean, fishermen are lazy. Like, that's why, like, even now, like, I've, you know, I'm off, right, you know, no tournaments or nothing. I'm not, like, just sitting back waiting. I'm going through all my tackle.
Right, cool.
You know, it's, you know.
Bringing out the beers, watching TV.
Yeah, you know, just put them inside. Yeah. Yeah. I had my A-rigs the other day just all rigged out, you know, because they're a pain, you know. Plus, there's 30-something bucks in each one of them, you know. And, you know, my hard baits, you know, I got a label maker, which was, Jesus.
That's went
a
little smart.
Above and beyond, but.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's, yeah, makes you know, it so much nice when you get a last-minute call to go fishing.
Yeah, you just go get milk crates full of tackle and.
Good call, I remember me and my buddy Gavin, we'd get on the boat and we'd get up to the bow on the Nautilus.
Right.
And we would, as the guy was dropping the hook, and hey, is it cool if we bomb a cast? And we'd kind of throw up to where the, you know, not in the way, but kind of out and up, because once they scoped out and pulled back, you kind of couldn't reach that spot. I mean, do you have any tips of like little things you like that are within the code of being cool on a boat and not pissing the deckhand or the captain's off?
I mean, you know? let's face it, when the party boat's chum, like, it makes it a lot easier, right? You'll never have the chum and power these guys have, but definitely don't get in their stern. That's just, and like, I grew up Pedro days. Sorry, Pedro, but it's a true story. These guys were known throwing sinkers at you and stuff back in the day, it was crazy in Pedro before. Yeah. Like, it was tough, you know? Yeah. So we knew better. Like, you just don't get close to a sport boat. But thank God, like, I fished so much that I made some cool friends. Like, just come off my bow, whatever. Yeah. You know,
it's, no, I was thinking more of like as a passenger.
Oh, as a passenger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of do.
To.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good casting baits.
Good luck on anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Like, to try to increase your odds is
where I'm
going. If
you can increase your odds, I would definitely like, okay, before they set up, be the first one off the bow or off the stern and fire out a bait. Get a little wham in the back or a little, you know, paddle tail bait in the back.
Right.
And then as soon as the bait starts, you know, as soon as you start chumming and stuff, go up to the bow, get a little hard bait, you know? Because I guarantee you nobody's going to be throwing a hard bait off the bow right now, you know?
Right.
Like in the summer months and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
You'll catch bass, you'll catch barracuda, bonita, whatever swimming around, you know? Mix it up.
I've seen that videos of that Ryan Block.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's a stud, but throwing a triple trout.
Yeah.
A chartreuse one and just ripping it and hanging yellows on that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just mix it up. You know, just have fun. You know, you're just fishing anyway. You know, throw topwater. Who's throwing a smaller popper?
Yeah.
You know,
they cast like a bullet.
They cast really far. Yeah. You know, you're up in the wind away from everybody. If I can stress anything, like single replacement, because the trebles are going to like freak people out.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I would do that. And then, I mean, the way I used to fish sport boats, 3/4 day, 1/2 day, a lot of lead head and squid, and you know, cover the water column, and
you sure learn a lot about the bite that way.
Oh yeah, that kind of fishing was pretty tough for even now. A lot of people, it's weird if you've ever done it. Just we used to do it in the winter months, like lead head and squid, and it's nothing. I mean, you're fishing 40-pound test, you know, stouty rod 8-foot. I used to fish a true line before T8, and you know, you just pitch it in there. You don't really move it much, but you want to feel the structure. If you're not feeling the structure, you're not in, you know, and then you just feel like a ping, and then you just wind them on. And that was probably some of the best way to catch my bass back then.
Yeah,
like that was just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but,
yeah, and you a lot break of people quite have, a few off too. Oh, doing that.
And you know, and I'm not saying that there were giants. I mean, a 4-pounder in the structure feels like an 8-9-pounder.
Oh,
it's
bet,
really
man.
Hard to get them out. Like it's hard to get them out.
And back then, you know, with just straight mono, you
straight
had
mono. Yeah, you're just
no braid then.
Yeah, right? No braid. Yeah. That was just straight mono back then. Just 40-pound and a lead head, ounce and a half, 2 ounce. I know the Long Beach guys got hip to it like the last 10 years, but you know, they do good. They use a lot of the banana style heads, which is fine. You know.
Yeah.
It all works.
Damn.
Tell us a story.
Tell us a story
about boating.
Boating.
Let's hear your rookie. Well,
okay.
Not a rookie move, but let's hear about.
This was okay. So check this out. I've already owned like 4 boats. All right. And, I was with Shay McAtee, you know, still down fishing. He's like, hey, let's go fishing San Diego. Da da da. Call your buddy Caesar. Let's go. All right. I didn't know he was going to bring his little camera thing. It was nothing. You know, we weren't really films. Like, bring a little camera, just yeah. case there's time, whatever, cool. And I'm like, all right, we get there, you know, this and that. And it's like, you know, Caesar goes, you know, we're in Shelter Island, you know, it's narrow. And I'm like, man, let's just get in the water quick because there's so many boats here. Everybody's going, you know, that way, tuna fishing this.
Yeah. Dude.
So what do I do? It's like, I've never tried this, but let me unhook the bow of it, you know. And dumb me had these little easy glides on the bunks. What happens? Boat comes straight out of the trailer and lands on the asphalt. And I'm like looking around, and everybody just turns around and just looks. But nobody's helping either. They're just looking. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. But he goes, what the hell? And then he's like, all right, I got an idea. So what does he do? He uses the trailer and just starts backing it up until it like gets in the water. And I'm like, this boat's destroyed, right? Put it back on the trailer. It's like, I just had a couple scrapes on the gel coat. Good to go.
That was my story.
Really?
Same exact thing happened to me. Easy glide. I had an invader before this.
Yeah. So Shay has it on video. I told him, he goes, can I please put it up? I go, no, Shay.
You have to put
so,
it up.
He's holding your ransom.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe around Fred Hall. Like, put it up. It'd be cool. It's good for people to see dumb stuff. You know,
I did the same exact thing. Same exact thing because my uncle had, talk about his boat. Right. He's like, oh yeah, I just let it open, you know, and then back up and it kind of floats off. I said, okay, let's try that. So the winch was unclicked.
Yeah.
So my buddy backed it up, hit the brakes, the rollers, it just went.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I would look like, oh man.
No, and I did the whole plug thing and all that stuff. And you know, I've done all that stuff.
What
you know,
about hurry up. Your boat accident?
Woo. Yeah, that was
A gnarly one.
That was a gnarly one. That definitely took a few years out of my life in the sense that I lost my sea legs. I just, I mean? Like just, you know, life flashes in front of you. I mean, it was a pretty horrible ordeal.
That tournament at Catalina, he was at San Clemente Island.
Yeah, we were San Clemente Island and water was, it was January, 50 degrees. Remember that clearly because, you know, I'm watching the temperature. That's our whole thing. Bet. Yeah, it was pretty gnarly. You know, we started off at Seal Rock. I was fishing with Larry Passad, and you know, Larry and I just fished like spotted bay bass, stuff like that. You know, he's like, "Hey man, do you want to fish TLC?" I'm like, "That would be cool." Larry's a great fisherman, you know. You know, surfer, the whole, you know what I mean? These guys are like Boy Scouts, you know, just he's buff looking, just you know, just like a animal, you know, he's an animal, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, "Dude, that would be cool," you know. And so, you know, I talked to my partner at the time. It's like, well, whatever. Go ahead. You know, he's a little hurt. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it's like, that would be a cool opportunity, you know, to just, it's just one event. It's a fun event anyway. Yeah, you know, I have done it before. Uh-huh. So it was just cool to, everybody's hanging out. And it's 2 days to go fishing. You know, that's the best excuse, right? It's like a mini vacation for me, you know, because I really didn't get out too much. So anyway, so we're, you know, Seal Rock. I had just been there a few weeks ago. I was like, dude, I have this bait that I poured. It was ugly. But so like, I go, if we can get in somewhat close, I go, it's heavy. So like, I call it the dead stick because like literally it was an ugly bait. It was just heavy and it just had a thin tail, but you fire it in and you just let the wave take it with you. And literally just let it sink, take a couple cranks, hold it, and then the fish were just yanking it. And we were catching like fours, fives, and sixes way, you know, just basically let the wave take it, free spool it, let it go way as far as it can, and then just take a couple cranks and then just pause it. And every pause, long pause too, they would just, I mean, that skinny tail would just wiggle and, I mean, on its own, you know, with the surge and everything. Yeah. So
Todd Maris, don't be texting me. I'm trying to do this.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So, yeah, that was my little kind of technique. And, you know, just tell me the colors you want. They're ugly colors, but it doesn't matter. They
it's almost like live bait fishing.
Yeah, it was like live bait. Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, like live bait fishing. Yeah. And it worked, you know. So, I mean, we probably fished 30 minutes, and I think we had like 18, 19 pounds, like like that quick.
Oh, great.
And, you know, and I'm like, it's game on. Like, we just need like a good one to get us in the 23, 24, 25. We're good, you know. Save some for tomorrow, da-da-da. Well, one of those, you know, like the tides dropping. We had been sitting there for 30 minutes. Well, as the tide drops, you know, there's less water now, right? So now it's breaking a little bit further out. So, you know, I'm you know, I've been there before. I'm trained. I'm like, I keep turning over my shoulder. I go, dude, head on the swivel at all times. You know, two, you know, four eyes is better than two. So he's like, dude, I got it. You know, he's behind the wheel. I got it. I'm like, okay, it's second nature just to like, you know. It's Northwest Harbor. I don't know if you've been there. It's, you know, it's gnarly. It's that's what you hear. Like, we would get there in the dark, and that's all you hear is like waves. It's a real eerie, you know, like sound, you know, that makes there.
It'll hold a 30-foot swell that's surfable in there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And, so, you know, got complacent, got caught, like, sitting in the same area, you know. Uh-huh. All I hear was, hang on. And I was like, I grabbed the bow rail, and I looked at my, you know, I looked over my shoulder, and I was like, oh, my God, there's already a barrel coming at us. Like, it already...
Did you have a life vest on?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't swim. I'm Mexican.
Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, but I could doggy paddle like the... you know? Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, my God. So, you know, he's like, hang on. So, like, he guns it. Like, you can't even punch in it at that point because you're, like, way in it. Like, it's coming. It's not even here yet. It's coming. Yeah. But it's already barreled over, you know? And I'm no surfer, but I know that's not good. So I like hang on, and he's just like trying to outrun it to like hop it, and it just like took the bow, and I did like Titanic, like just bowed in, and I'm still holding on.
Ugh.
So it was like I was flying underwater, kind of a deal. Like felt like, I don't know, maybe it was only a foot, but I felt like I was like 10 feet deep.
Yeah.
So I hit the water, and I'm like, all right, like split second, I'm, oh my God, like the movies, it's gonna land on my head, right? So I'm like doing this, but I'm like, I'm underwater, you know, like I have my hands over my head. I'm like, I'm underwater. What? And I was like literally I'm underwater, you know, my life did flash in front of me. That is a true story about, you know, when you almost lose your life, it did flash. Yeah. You know, I thought about my daughter. I was like, man, this is gonna suck. So I touched my chest. I was like, oh man, I'm still alive. So I had one of those pull up, you know, Mustang life jackets, you know, that, you know, the tournament directors make us. Thank God, you know, because, you know, you start going there too much, you get complacent, like, I'm not going to wear that, you know, I'm too cool. But thank God I had it. And, you know, I hit the little, you know, clip, and I did, like, the Rocketeer shot up, you know, like a, you know, at least that's what it felt like, right. you know, I just shot up out of the water, and I was like, oh, you know, like, I'm coming, and I look at the shore, I'm like, oh, my God, we're, like, 100, 150 feet away from the shore, outgoing tide.
Yeah.
So, if you... doggy paddle because I can't swim.
Yeah,
like 15 feet, you know, it just pushes you right back out. And we're seeing all the stuff that flip with the boat start pushing outwards towards open ocean. So I'm like, holy crap, you know, this is gonna suck. And so meanwhile, you know, and Larry's there, he's like, bah, I hear him yelling. That's how he knows underwater. I can hear him yelling, but I'm underwater, I can't say, you know, bloop bloop bloop, I'm still alive, you know. You know, but I can see him yelling. You know, he's scared.
And he's a strong swimmer, though, right?
Oh, he, like I said, he's
that's
he's,
good.
Like, he's a rig.
He's dude, like a guy's an animal. Like I said, he's and so he's like, dude. He's like, you know, he calmed me down. I was like, dude. I was just like, dude, we almost died. I'm like thinking, like, I'm not even thinking how we're gonna get to shore. You know, I'm thinking, damn, we're alive.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, he processed it all. He's like, dude, I got boots on. Should I kick them off? He goes, no, you're gonna need them on the beach because you don't want to get all torn up and stuff like that. I'm like, oh crap, oh, you're scaring me. You know, he's like, dude, take your, because I'm trying to like doggy paddle my way to shore as quick as I can. He's like, whoa, you're gonna need it on the surf. And I'm looking at the waves on the surf, I'm like, holy crap, they're huge. I don't even know the size, but they're not small, they're big.
So you gotta go through all that rock and
gravel. Rock and boulders, and you know that's where the military trains, right? That's, you know, that's where they train. So they made that area, Northwest Harbor, that way for a reason. You know, they put like big old rocks, like size of watermelons, that are like river rocks, like all loose. So when you're stepping, they just, you know, But anyway, so we're in the water, and it probably took us about 45 minutes to get on shore.
Jeez,
And it was tough, you know. This was the hardest part of it all. So Larry gets close to me. He's like, dude, just, you know, get together and we'll, you know, we'll just ease in slowly because I know you can't swim, what the hell. And, you know, and then he finds this little Tupperware, you know, from what his wife packed him for lunch. Yes, I found a cover, Tupperware cover. I'm like, Larry, really? He's like, no, dude, look. And he's like one-handed. He's like, he grabs me by the back and he's just like, you know, doing this, you know.
Wow.
Roll your boat, you know, with his arm. So he's using it as a paddle. He's an animal. Yeah, he's an animal. That's what he's
amazing.
So he's doing that. And, you know, like, dude, even you're going to get tired. Just I'll just ease my way in. You know, I got my life jacket, you know. We'll just ease in. And then, well, as soon as we got close, it's like, you know, there's no helping or nothing. So
do or don't.
So, like, as I got close, that first one just picked me up, launched me up in the air, rolled me. I drank a lot of water, came back up, and I was like, seconds later, that next one's right in front of me. After the third one, I just told myself, I think I'm just going to pull this life jacket out. I can't take this. I was like, I was pretty much dying.
Fuck, man. Oof.
So then one of them, like the fourth one, I believe, just grabbed me, tossed me, and I landed really close to the sand, close. And I was like, oh, my God. But I was so heavy, I couldn't even crawl. I couldn't move. You know, like when you get in the beach, you know, you know that tide's pushing back and it's just sucking you. You can't move. Well, I did that. And I was like, no, you can't do it. I can't do one more. Like, I'm done. Yeah. And then that next one came and just slapped me and threw me up on the.
Wow.
Thank God, dude.
Yeah, and then I just kind of looked out briefly at the ocean for a few minutes. And I was like, holy crap. And then I'm just like, all right, it's 50. Water's 50. Surface water temp, 50 degrees, you know. Hypothermia. I'm not thinking about that. I'm like, so Larry, the Boy Scout, he's like, let me come back. I'll be back. And he starts running up there because there's like this, you know, where the military trains. They have this building there. Da, da, da. Let me see if I can find somebody. He comes back. He has some wood and everything. Got some dried up kelp. And he makes this like scarecrow teepee. Somebody will find us, you know. Luckily, the flare kit washed up to shore, but everything else went that way out to open ocean. It's crazy. So,
Whoa. So
we lit the old kelp, you know, made a big old fire. Oh, somebody's gonna see us. Well, January, everybody's gone. Like, there's like three people on the island, and the fishermen know when you start seeing smoke or this or that, dude, do not go around Northwest Harbor. Like, they're training. They're gonna, you know, they kick you out. Yeah. So we were. You know, there we'd see a few boats and we're doing the YMCA, like, hey, you know, like this. And people, you know, like later on,
you saw the competitors
were telling me, like, dude, we thought you were telling us to get out of here, like, go that way. We're like, dude, we're like doing this.
They thought you were the military.
Yeah, I thought we were the military kicking them out.
Oh, fuck.
So we're like, wow. So 7-8 hours later, 6 hours, seven, I don't know, it was a long day, almost the end of the day. We're like, we might have to spend the night here. I'm like, dude, we're going to die. It's so cold.
Yeah,
like we're gonna die. But luckily, like I said, we had the fire going, so we kind of somewhat warmed up.
Fire going.
And he's like, "Hey, grab that bag, pick up whatever waters, whatever you know, just whatever we can, you know, use for later on. Like we might have to spend the night. You know, that's one thing that he was really knowledgeable about. Like you know, because I would have just kept walking, like doo doo doo. And you know, so
your daughter says hi, by the way.
Oh, hi. And but yeah, that was. And then, so like now we're like, hey, we just can't stay here. Nobody's going to get us.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down. Okay. It's almost the end of the day. You know, we kind of knew people's kind of pattern. Like they're going to try to probably go around Seal Rock again, like Northwest Harbor, try to finish their day there, maybe connect with the bass. I'm going to walk up to the point. Hopefully they'll see me there.
Yeah.
You go up towards that little road and see if you can find somebody. I'm like, okay. So we split up. And but like as we're walking, I'm like, dude, what is this, Larry? Like, you know, there's like little pine needle thingies everywhere. There's because that's where they train. You know, they have the dummy like
you're like, dude, I don't want to step on a mine.
No, well, they have dummy mines there. And later on, they told me, he's like, dude, you know, like we have people like you know hurt themselves pretty bad, even though they're dummy mines. Like, yeah, we've seen the tripwire and all that stuff. You know, that's what they do. So
and
we're walking through
stuff that hasn't been exploded.
Oh, there's a lot, yeah, because they're just dummy
scary,
ones, you know.
Dude.
So yeah, we walked through all that, you know, like that terrain, and I'm like, this sucks. We're gonna die. We're just gonna die.
It's not ending.
So like, I'm walking. I'm like, man, we're gonna have to go back and sleep in that place, and hopefully these guys will come get us like the next day. So. We start walking. I see a truck. I got a distance. I'm like, please come down. Please come down. Sure enough, he came down. And, you know, I got my bag, my black bag with water and stuff, you know, and a few things I found.
Mm-hmm.
And they come down. It was a gentleman and a lady. And, you know, they lower the window, little crack, little 2 inches. And she's like, can we help you? I'm like, yeah, I just flipped with my buddy. Da, da, da. You know, I'm excited. And she's like, hey, he speaks English. I'm like, what? So they call their military police. They come down. He's like, hey, sorry, I got to handcuff you. Like, wait, what's going on? Oh, they thought I was a young Mexican drug runner. Yeah. With the black bag. Because they do wash up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so
now you've just almost died. Now you're under arrest.
Yeah, now I'm under arrest. You know, hey, you know, no civilians are allowed here. I didn't do it on purpose. We flip.
Washed up on a boat, bro.
Yeah. So after that, they took care of us real good. Hey, do you want to go to our? They have an underground bowling alley there too. By the way, that's real cool.
Yeah.
You know, they got a cool bar.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, so they're like, hey,
beers.
Yeah, anything. But everywhere you go, even the restroom. Somebody's gonna go with you.
That's cool.
You're not allowed. Yeah. You know, which is fine. Like, yeah. Hey, you know, I wasn't a military person, but okay, cool. You know,
yeah.
And they opened the store for us. Can I get a couple of shirts that I survived San Clemente? But it was more so for the military, not. Right. But I bought Larry a shirt too. Like here, you know, and still have the shirt. Should have wore it today. But that was my ordeal. And,
so you were you?
I was back at Catalina. I had gone to Clemente that day, but to get back in time for Wayne, and I had left.
Oh, can I say one more quick thing? This is pretty dumb. This is when you leave your emergency information, don't leave your other number, your own number, because they were trying to call me on my number. My emergency number was underwater. You know, like I should have put down, you know, sister, aunt, uncle, something, you know? So, and then I remember Shannon goes, he's like, hey, next time you're going to flip or something, can you put somebody else's number other than yourself? You know,
and what did you? What was your side of it? So you got back.
We came back to the island, to Catalina from there, and you know, weighing in. Well, where's Bobby? You know, where's Larry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, mechanical breakdowns aren't uncommon.
Yeah,
but an hour goes by, 2 hours goes by. Then it's at some point we had talked to the harbor master. Hey, we're missing a competitor, a team. You know, two guys, and then it kind of got more serious because they aren't checking in, and then they call the Coast Guard and find out has anybody called for. Vessel, you know, towboat US or, you know, a Mayday distress call and nothing. And then somehow the military there, the Navy contacted the Coast Guard, which in turn contacted two harbors. And then I don't know how you guys got back to.
The sheriffs picked us up.
So they sent a sheriff boat
over? They sent a sheriff boat. They were Santa Barbara. They picked us up. Really cool. Brought us back. And then we hitched a ride on the Everglades boat.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, it was a little spooky for us, you know, because it's like then when you hear there's an accident, you know, oh, yeah, they had an accident. Their boat's on the beach, and it's like.
Still on the beach.
You've seen it.
Yeah. They said they were going to, like, oh, no, it's cool. We're just going to blow it up for practice or something, but it's still there.
That was Larry's boat?
Yeah, that was Larry's boat.
You had insurance and stuff on it, or was it kind of like.
I don't know what happened there, you know, like, I know, like, something happened where, like, he got it and just, I don't know, something missed a payment or whatever.
Salvage stuff is always a pain.
It's something. The legality issue, if you do it on the shoreline, it is crazy. You do not want to flip a boat ever. But on the beach here,
because
you're going to be.
Can't stress that enough. I told my story of it was $3,600 bucks to tow it from Point Firmin to Cabrillo. $3,600bucks.
Yeah.
You talk about a tow bill.
Yeah.
Jeez. And your wallet's on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they'll impound it right there. So
yeah, right, like, there.
Listeners out there, please be safe and smart, because even if you don't, if you're a reckless person, it's still going to cost you a gang.
Yeah, definitely no fish is worth your life. No. But nevertheless, like if you do what I do, if you're a calico bass fisherman, let's face it, that's where they live. That's where you're at. You know, it took a while to get my sea legs again. You know, I'd go out with friends. I'm like, did you see that one? Did you see that one? I was like, are you serious? Like, stop. I was ruined.
How long did you not go out for?
No, I did it. You know, I did it. Just, I didn't.
No, I mean, like, how did you take a break? Like, I didn't fish for a while.
No, I did it. But, like, I knew it just threw me off. Like, a year and a half, 2 years. Like, and,
Jack Soul's story is, you know, he lost his buddy that was with him. And that was at Santa Barbara. Let somebody else tell that one. But he lost his best friend.
That's horrible, man.
Yeah.
Spend the night on the rocks, you know, until the helicopter came, got him the next day.
And a lot of us all have, I mean, they compete. Have had the close calls. I mean, you know what I mean? They know it. You know what I mean?
And it happens so fast. So, you know, you can't recover.
You know, you'll spear a wave or whatever. It's just, you know, like, oh, thank God, you know. But you know, eventually, you know, like things just happen.
I like the front side of Catalina now.
Yeah. Or the front of Clemente, you know.
Right, right.
Minus Northwest.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But.
Well, that's a good story. I mean, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, sorry so long, but.
No, dude, that was a great, super. It's important. There's now with the popularity of the fishing.
Yeah, true. You know there's younger guys that want to do it. Just life jacket. You know what I mean?
Fish on the Jeff, and I'm like,
yeah, check
I have my life jacket right there. He's like, I wear it all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm get one, dude. Like yeah. Even the pool ones, like you yeah. said, like are
we have a little, light, we have a little throw bag too, a little floating one with some embarrassing, you know, flares this that, yeah, you know, just you know, it's a little radio.
I think fishing, you know, trolling motors are great. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you got a 200-pound thrust trolling motor, that kelp will stop it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you have to maintain that damn trolling motor in that kelp.
Yeah.
So what I do is, I don't know about you, but I tilt the motor up quite a ways. Yeah. So, you know, so you're still getting coolant. Mm-hmm. And I fish off the main engine quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because 115 horsepower is a lot more powerful than
36
volts of electricity. You know, and if you need to, I don't put myself anywhere near harm's way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just nice to be on that main.
Yeah.
And you know, you can also cover a lot more water.
Now, let's face it, you put a trolling motor down, it's like, watch out. I gotta get the trolling motor. Like, you know, your partner or whatever. Somebody's gotta like
the new one I have. It doesn't have like a rope or anything. You gotta put the thing down, pulled up, it's like fuck.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get that thing.
Yeah. They're awesome, but they have their place.
Yeah, they do have their place, but definitely, like he says, I fish a lot on the motor now these days. It's just easier to just zoom out, and I fish behind the wheel. Like I always have. Like I said, it's just, well, when I'm not driving, you know?
Yeah.
And
four strokes are so quiet, too. Everybody's running those. It's like the sound issue isn't really like it used to be.
Let's try to do another set of questions, see if anyone
has anybody have some questions? I see
no more flipping questions, though.
You guys good? You want another beverage?
I'm good right now.
I'm good.
No questions yet.
Nobody wants free goodies?
Let me see if there was any.
I made sure I picked the really good stuff, you know? Like,
let me scroll back. Fisherman's Hardware was listening, so Johnny Rockets, thanks for the shout out there. Brayton Mitchell? He says, what was your first fishing setup? Your very first?
Very first one? You can imagine. Zepco with that egg looking, you know? I think I got it at Thrifty back then, which was now Rite Aid. But Thrifty used to have. They used to have like this little aisle with like, you know, basic fishing stuff, bobbers, hooks, you know? And I remember it was a Zepco, the little round little Zepco white little rod.
Push buttons.
Five footer, that was it.
You ever fish those for spotties?
No, but that'd be cool.
You can skip under a dock, no backlash.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really cool. Yeah,
like a Zepco.
Yeah,
just a little push button Zepco with like.
And
a
they make
a
real.
You see the video I put up with my kid? My middle one. I bought him a Zepco, like a nicer one.
Yeah.
And he caught. We were using the hookup baits, and he caught freaking. You know, cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Cast it on his own. Real.
Those are perfect for kids.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're fun.
Yeah, I give him a little spinner bait, like a short spinner bait rod. Mm-hmm. So.
Nice.
Well,
what else is up, Bobby? What's any trips planned?
What do I got planned? I think next year I'm going to go to Gonzaga if all plays well. You know,
take your boat.
Mine or Garrett's.
Nice.
You know, I don't mind taking mine either way.
What's your boat? What do you run?
18-foot Boston Whaler Outrage.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's considered a 19 if it's a year older. I'm an 89, the 90. Yeah. We talked about that half a foot.
Yeah. I remember when you got that. You're still happy with it?
Yeah, thanks to you. Like he said, I remember his words. Like, actually, it's funny because I called him or he called me, whatever, and was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to go buy a champion. He goes, dude, don't do it. I'm like, I've been searching for 8 or 10 months. I'm going to buy a boat.
Yeah.
I cannot not have a boat.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it, dude. Give me a little bit. He helped me find a boat. He's like, look, I'm not going to lie. It doesn't do one thing right, but it could do a lot of things.
So,
I'm like, since I fish like a lot of other stuff, I don't just bass fish. You know, I'll go rock fish. And I'll go, like we talked about earlier, I'll fish striped bass and, you know, 200 feet of water, cast take or 300, whatever. Nice. You know, I do weird stuff, you know, like that most people don't do, you know.
Yeah.
That's why, look, he brought my rod holders from the rail I gave him, you know. You know, because I used to, like, rod holder, you know, bait. Yeah, you know, I do all kinds of stuff. So that boat just allowed me to do, like, a little bit of everything, really, you know. Yeah. It's a small boat, but, it's
good range.
Good range. Single 150 Yamaha.
Four stroke.
You know, it's got a big gas tank. So, you know.
Dry ride, too.
Really dry ride. That's what's, because I've had a lot of boats, and I'm like, I always got wet, sprayed. you know, we had to spend the big money for, you know, foul weather gear. Yeah. This boat, surprisingly, if you're getting wet, you probably shouldn't be on the water. Like, it's like it's really dry. I mean, you, yeah. you'll get a little bit going in the trough, you know, where it splashes and comes back up on you. But that thing is a tank. I mean, the only thing better than 18 is a 20 or 22, you know. Like, if I could fit it, I would definitely get a 22 because those things are amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing
boat. A lot of
good
boats out there.
But amazing boat.
There's no such thing as a perfect one. But
No, yeah. yeah. And I kind of tweaked it a little bit to, like, you know, what I wanted it for. And now I'm really, really happy with the boat, you know. A lot of people that go just fun fishing, they're like, wow. They just get on. It's like, we're going to get soaked. And they're amazed. Yeah. Like, hey, we're going to go to Santa Barbara Island. They're looking at me. You're crazy. And they're just like, wow. Smooth, you know, they're mesmerized. Yeah. You know, it really is that cool of a boat, you know.
Yeah.
For the size, you know, I don't think there's one in that caliber for 18
foot. That size, that's the key. There's bigger that are more stable and faster and, you know, all that, and have more storage. They don't have anything for storage in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, they're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I live in a narrow block, you know, up in a hill. It's just... It's hard. Like, they don't even know how I get that boat in there. You know, they're what?
I hear you right here.
You know?
Busy street and back.
So,
I usually put that in the garage.
Oh,
okay. I usually back it up. But I've been fishing so much, I just cover it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I'm going to go on Tuesday again with Jeff. It's like.
Yeah. So, see, that's why this really made sense and worked for me, you know? And,
definitely.
I mean, it's just perfect tool for what I do.
And how long have you had that boat?
5 years now? Really? 4 or 5 years? Yeah.
I was fortunate at the beginning of. When we started, you know, fishing and doing the
he knows more about this stuff than I do. Like, because he used to, like, you know, like those Western Outdoor News stuff, and there's certain guys that were like
on, or they did a thing on Bloody Decks, right?
Oh, for my little boat, yeah. But what I was going to say is, one of the benefits of doing these things is I got to ride on a lot of people's boats,
exactly.
And the things I liked about some and things I didn't like about others, and that was really beneficial. So. If there's anybody out there that's looking to get a boat,
definitely
don't hesitate to ask somebody. Hey,
definitely.
Can I go on your boat?
And you don't have to break the bank, you know. Even my partner, like, he's about to drop some serious money on a 25 footer. So you can only imagine, you know, it's big money. And you got to think about, I need to buy a $60,000-$80,000 truck to match it. Right. You know, so
there's a lot of pluses.
You don't have
and minuses
to do that. You know, like it's. You know, if you don't have it, or, you know, if you just don't want to do it, I mean, it's just,
so, like,
you know,
when you get by these, you're buying them used off someone.
Yeah.
And then you're repowering usually.
Or sometimes
they just have it, you know,
nice.
Like I said, it took me a while, 6 or 8 months.
Did you find the engine with it?
He found it for me. He's like, dude, here it is. Go now.
I remember
I'm like,
that.
Go now. And I'm like, okay. I literally walked across the street because I was working. I was like, I got to go.
Yeah. Went,
got money from the bank and charged straight to Dana Point. Didn't even test it.
Wow.
Here you go. I got to get back.
And I was like, I hope he likes it.
Yeah.
Because I was
how
trying
many
to...
hours did it have on it?
Oh, it had like nothing. It had like 100 and something hours. It was like,
really?
It was barely broken in. So I was like, this is a no-brainer. No bottom paint, which I know wasn't sitting in the water, which is huge for whalers. Yeah. You know, Eric knew a lot about that stuff. And he's like, don't get one with bottom paint. Don't get this. And, you know, he knew the person previously who put it together. So he did it right. Like, the right compass, like, just things were simple but right for you know what I wanted to do.
And there's, like I said again, there's no perfect boat out there, you know. Aluminum boats are killer. There's sometimes I miss my 15 Gregor. Just it's nice to be able to just rinse it off and you know, you don't have to put fenders out when you come to the dock. It's
you're
not worried about
scratching
gel coat.
Even, you know, when I started competing, you know, like, you see those 14 foot Valcos in the mix, you know, and
killer.
You know, it was cool. That's what was really cool. I mean, I know, like, fisheries change and, you know, things have changed. And, you know, we don't see those big fields. We won't get into it, but unless you guys want to. But,
Beer, Bobby?
Yeah. No, I mean.
I think the other guy doesn't want to drink that.
I mean, look at Newport, like 70 something teams.
72 there. That one time.
You know, I'm like, God, I'm hopscotching. Like, hey, are you going here? Okay, make a cast. Okay, go ahead. Like, I'm going to go here. It's like, it was that many people in Newport.
Dude.
And but, you know, spotties were 12 inches, so most people can catch a few. But guys were still cracking 10-pound bags.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool. So I think our fisheries kind of changed, you know, a little. It's tougher. It's a lot tougher.
A lot. Yeah.
And but I don't know. Maybe in time, you know, things will build back up. I don't know. Maybe it's a cycle just like the fish. Like, we haven't had a sand bass spot in years, right? I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And you're still doing SBS?
Yeah. Doing SBS right now. Next year.
When does it start back up?
January.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. They made a couple. They made one change. I think they took Newport out, which I was a little bummed, but just because I spent so much time trying to figure it out.
You know, I would. Do you remember when we did the 6-pound test roll? Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't.
We first few years we did that Newport Bay. It was the cabin fever reliever, whatever we called it.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
But we would go around with micrometers or dial calipers and check everybody's line thickness, and it couldn't be over like 10 thousandths for mono.
Really?
And everybody
so
had
to have the same line,
the same thickness line or under. And it was real. A lot of guys really liked it. And then
what was the maximum size you had?
It was six. Well, the standard was 6-pound P line at the time, because that was about the thickest 6-pound we could find.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty.
But you could find thin 8-pound or thin 10-pound that was still 10 thousandths or less. But anyways, the guys were getting to the point where they're like tying spider hitches and double their line, and but then they're throwing a $15 spinner bait and breaking it off. And they're like, dude, when are you going to get rid of this rule? Yeah. I lost like $50 in tackle today or whatever it was. But a lot of people got bit on that light line, and it was really fun. So we kind of let that format go by the wayside. But there was a lot of people that really liked it. It was because it was challenging. A lot of people that didn't like it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
But it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to the whole tournament thing, it opened up another like giant fishery for me. Like I'm thinking, just okay, you're going to party boat, whether it's Oceanside, San Diego, here, Oxnard. You know, now I'm like, well, when was I ever going to fish San Diego Bay for spotties? I'm not going to drive to San Diego. I live in LA.
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that? Yeah. You know, and. But you know, thanks to that, you get down like, wow, this fishery was amazing.
It's cool.
San Diego.
That's what I've heard.
San Diego Bay is a great fishery.
It's fun. And you can jam around in there, too.
Yeah, you can jam around there. It's just a great fishery. You know, why do I want to keep beating my head in Newport? Gosh, you know, but like that spotted bay bass fishing was my toughest, like,
hurdle.
Code to crack for sure. And I just spent so much time with it that I got very comfortable with it now. But I'm definitely not the spotted bait bass guy. But I definitely put a lot of focus on it, where it's definitely showed this last few years. And I'm finally dialing them in. But, like, anything can happen. Next year, they'll change up on me. And, you know, you just got to keep going, you know, change with the times, I guess, you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting fishery, all three species, because although it's guys have fished for them for decades,
And they react different. You know, spotted bay bass in San Diego Bay, 60, 70 feet of water you can catch, you know, in mid-channel. You could spoon wild, from, man. Yeah. And you know, you can get them in shallow, you can get them in deep docks, eelgrass, they're everywhere there. There's a little bit for everybody, whatever your comfort zone is, fishing riprap. There's everything.
See it on, you know, like you see a lot of San Diego guys posting really cool shit.
Oh, it's a great fishery, you know, and just explore it. It's amazing. And,
big, too. That whole bay is like 12 miles long.
Mm-hmm. Mission Bay is different. It's more like a big, giant puddle of eelgrass, you know, with a few docks. But
dude, my wife bought me for my 30th boat, like a private charter.
Oh, yeah.
It was me and like 8 other guys. So there was no one else on the boat. Uh-huh. We didn't even leave. Nice. Under the bridge. Yeah. Like, we were catching halibut and shit. Yeah. It was cool. When I first really got into fishing, and I'm like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You're catching like good calico. Oh, good, you know, like.
Yeah.
So. It's fertile down there.
Yeah, those inner harbors. That's, like I said, thanks to tournament fishing, I got to like, you know, just see like up and down the coast, you know, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Even fishing outside the harbor, I'd be comfortable just fishing Marina Del Rey. I don't have to go nowhere else. But it was cool that I broke it up and got to see the different fisheries.
Channel Islands.
I would have really never went to Santa Cruz to go fish those. Dude, that bass fishery is so good.
Really?
Yeah, it's, to me, honestly, I think it's still untapped. Like, the sport boats.
Is there guys up there that fish Santa Cruz calico guys?
There are, but I think that's just a really hardcore kind of underground group of guys.
They
do it out of like more of the gnarly boats, like, you know,
Raddins
and Davis, Fairlawns, Wilson's.
Yeah, Wilson's.
Yeah, those Parkers, gnarly skiffs.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of guys.
Yeah, they'll tuck in, like, you know, they'll back their boat in and stuff. And, you know, not like what we're doing, I don't think, you know. It's just.
Yeah.
I see
they have their own little niche kind of.
Yeah, right there. There's definitely some guys doing it.
There's some big ones there. I don't know, Bobby, maybe tell me if I'm wrong, but. Seems like about 5 years of tournaments out of Ventura or so. Seems like when I saw you always used to look at how many rods and what they have for every event on board. And it seemed like there was just as many rods on board the guys' boats at the Ventura event as there was in a spotty event. It's because it seemed like
that
you get them on cranks and this
they
and
eat
that.
Everything.
And you never know.
That's what's cool about that. Like they, I mean, you got to have a weakness. You got to have an old school swim bait. You know, I had put down a swim bait for probably a year and a half, 2 years.
Really?
And it bit me. When I went back, you know, mixing it up, I was like, sometimes you just got to go old school on them, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that fishery's, like I said, I was cranking, you know, going to a point outwards and bring it up. And it was just amazing. And at that time, they were spawning, right? As soon as I caught the first one, I seen this cheeks. I'm like, oh, I already know what to do. So as soon as I would hook one, I'd slow it down because crankbaits got two hooks anyway, right?
Yeah.
And then that second one would probably be like a half pound bigger anyway. Yeah. So I was like, yes, you know? Damn.
I it's funny.
Double 4 pounders, double 4.5s. Like, you know, that's, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
I think one of the first times I went there, if not the first, was with Jerry Mayhew in his old skiff.
Yeah.
And we went out of Oxnard, I think it was. Mm-hmm. We fished a little bit on the front side, caught a couple nice ones, went around the back to Yellowbanks. And you know how that kelp extends off the island? The calico bass were so thick and you could see them all on the surface that, you know, like when a bait school gets pushed up and it goes, whoosh, whoosh, you can hear it. That's what the calicos are doing. And it was weird because we first pulled up every cast 5, and then your next set of casts was 4s. Then it went to 3s and 2s and then it was done and you could still see them out there free swimming. And I'm not exaggerating. The area was twice as big as a football field.
Like, and they just knew, you think?
I don't know if they were out there spawning, you know, aggregating on that, because there's a spine that runs out there and kelp comes off the top of it, and where it was really sparse.
Usually in the afternoon, that little wind, and it's
game. And they weren't moving. They were just so milling around, and me and Jerry were just like, oh, my, ask him. I'm not exaggerating. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That place has a lot of, like, 4-ish, like 4, 4.5, but big numbers. Yeah. I mean, some guys are like, oh, I couldn't really break anything over 4.5. But how many did you catch? You probably got 30, 40, 4.5, you know?
That's a nice
And then certain times of the year, you know, when they're spawning and stuff, you know, like the calico bass at Clemente, they're like salmon groupers. They're thin, big-headed, and they look big, but they're, like, spawned out looking. You know, some of them just...
Big belly.
They have a frame of a 6-7, but they're 4s.
Yeah.
And so the first event we went up there, you know, I think we caught, like, 24, 25 pounds. But when we went up there, I'm like, we got, like, 18. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, because they're like little baby barrels. Like, they even look different.
Yeah.
They're like, you know.
You're like, did that thing eat a Pismo clam?
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, they're just round, like thick.
Yeah.
And Santa Barbara, I've seen some fish like that, but definitely Santa Cruz, it's they're just short and stocky.
Wow. Larry Heron from, I don't know if you've heard of Calico Hunter Charters.
Yeah, I
super
have.
Cool guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there listening wants to charter,
well
worth your time.
He'll put you on him.
He's got a huge boat. It's a center console with a 350 on the back, and that can go through, you know, victory at sea, no problem. And he's a really good, safe captain, but he knows that island. That's all he charters, and that would be a really good trip to hook up Calico Hunter Charter.
Yeah.
There's your plug, Larry.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, killer show, man. You want to throw a shout-out to any of your sponsors?
I want to thank them all, because thanks to them, like, I mean, it definitely helped me. Like, I spent a lot of money doing this.
Owner Hooks has been great to you.
Owner Hooks, I can't say enough. I mean, those guys are amazing. They allow me to go to all their shows and hang out with them. You know, they don't need anybody there.
Great.
They just, like, you know what I mean? We have a... just a good friendship, really, you know, like even, you know, Christmas meals, like, hey, come down. I want you to, you know, meet the owner Japan guys. They're going to fly down and you know, it's just, they've really included me and helped me out, you know, through the whole year. It's like, hey, do you need anything? I'm like, well, just a couple, you know, things here and there. And they've been very supportive. And I want to say too, just the stuff that they say, hey, can you try this out? I really, truly grab those things and really test them out. And that's kind of what's, like, helped me. Like, the one Catalina tournament, they gave me a flashy swimmer. Hey, can you test this out? And I took the owner Japan guys fishing with me. You know, I think I told a story before. But so, like, we're on the, you know, we went to the break wall. Like, hey, we want to catch fish with this. I'm like, oh, man, I'm on the front of the break wall. So I turned to Garrett, do you have a weedless? Like, a small weedless? Because I don't know what's going to happen here. He's like, yeah, you know, he pulls out a Yum money minnow thingy.
Uh-huh.
So, Shadalicious, sorry. And first cast, I kid you not. And then I get the phone call. Jimmy Decker was up above with some clients. He goes, hey, buddy, they're eating the weedless. I'm like, yes.
Oh, nice.
That just reinforced everything. And then, you know, caught like 4 or 5 fish. But it was clear water. And, you know, he had that Shadalicious clear one. It looks killer in the water. So I didn't go next event. I didn't go to pre-fish or nothing. And clear water. So I'm like, I'm going to throw this. And big fish came on.
Nice.
Flashy swimmer. So all these, like, stuff that I've tried out has really helped me in my fishing game. Like, because it's kind of, like,
definitely
somewhat forced me to try to figure it out, or to truly, like, test it out instead of, like, make a cast, like, oh, I don't think it's going to work, and, you know, discount it. So,
anyway. Yeah, it seems like owner, they've been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning, they've always had really good quality product. Really,
yeah.
But, and it's innovative, but it seems like they don't release it unless it works.
Unless it works, yeah. And, you know, they're getting feedback from not just here. Like, you know, that was my whole tunnel vision. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, but it's not going to work here. It's like, Bobby, I give you, like, at the times, like, he's making a joke, Bobby, I give you more beast hooks than I sell here. Stop it. Sorry. You know, because I'm like, I want this size. I want more weight. And they're like, no, Bobby, it doesn't work that way. You're a little niche. You're a freckle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And just sorry, but yeah, that's what it is. You know, until, like, you know,
they're like, calm down.
And, until, like, you know, started growing in different places like Texas and stuff like that. Now we can have a 12-aught hook. Now we can do this, right, because
yeah, it takes a while.
It takes a while. Yep. But nevertheless, you know, they've given me products. You know, Daiwa's been really good. Like, lately, I've been testing out rods for them and stuff like that. Some really cool stuff coming out. But they, you know, the stuff that they give me to test out is just killer. It's been, I mean, cool. It's just,
that's good. You have those good relationships.
Good relationships.
That makes it nice.
You know,
it's one thing to, you know, get a box in the mail and or whatever, and then you'll give them your feedback and then report, you know, and promote it. But it's nice to have that relationship.
And you know, the cool thing is that I think I sold it pretty cool too. It's like, well, you might give this product to, like, a freshwater person, which is, I mean, I'm sure way better fisherman than I'll ever be. But he's only going to catch a few bass, freshwater bass.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to go to the breakwall, catch 40, 50.
Yeah.
Hard to fight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let me just put it through the ringer, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that makes perfect sense, you know?
Durability.
That's why I'm testing out a crankbait rod, a jerkbait rod, an Alabama rod for Daiwa right now. And awesome stuff coming out. Like,
that's
just
cool.
Pretty cool stuff, you know, that I would have never even considered fishing. And I'm like, wow,
that's,
you know?
Awesome.
But anyway, sorry, I could talk a lot, I guess.
Anybody else you want to mention? You Daiwa, owner?
Daiwa's been cool. I can't say enough about owner. Stormar, the foul weather gear.
Oh, yeah.
Whew, did I need that? Because I do lobstering and stuff like that. So they've been cool. Revenge Baits has been awesome to me. Bomber's giving me every color and shade of sunglasses. Can't say enough about him. You know, he's pretty cool. Very cool, actually. We went fishing together the other day. But Damiki, I can't say enough. You know, like, Damiki was another one that just, you know, he's like, hey, let me know when you got room on that jersey. I'm like, but you guys have freshwater. And he's like, dude, you know everything's a crossover, right? And that's when just the light bulb, like, I'm dumb. This is, you know, I should have been doing this since day one.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, just the people that supported me, you know, it's been amazing. You know, it's been a cool ride, you know, just riding the wave.
Awesome.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you coming on.
And if anybody has any questions, I mean, don't be scared. You know, don't feel weird. Like, I get messages sent all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no, like, real dumb question other than, can I have your rockfish numbers? You know? And even then, I still give them, like, dude, they're not going to be monsters like what you're seeing, but, you know, you'll have a
try limit. These.
And I'll throw you a bone and, you know what? Go west from here on this degree, and you're going to find something. But do some of the, like, you know, a little bit. But, you know, even then, you know, like, so by all means, you know, like Eric said, like, hey, sometimes people just shy away just because they, like, either intimidated or like, no. And he's like, I think so. Like, and if that's so, I just want to reiterate that, dude, just, if you
regular
see me,
dude, right?
Regular dude, you can hit me up.
How can
they
get a hold of you? Bobby Martinez on Instagram.
Bobby Martinez on Instagram or on Facebook.
Right on.
Yeah, you know, or just, you know, you'll see me at some of the fishing shows or seminars maybe this next coming year. And
Fred Hall probably, right?
Fred Hall, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be coming around the corner before we know it.
Yeah. I've been asked to do a few seminars, so
I've
we'll see if that pans out.
So
oh, really? Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
I always say I'm going to go for the last.
Lots of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, lots of hand sanitizer. And
you guys buy that by the gallon in the owner booth.
Yeah,
we do
have a big gallon, dude. Yeah, it's just, you know.
It's sensory overload. You can't do it in one day.
Yeah. No.
Not if you want to see it.
Yeah. The seminars, definitely there's some good stuff there.
Gary Reyes says you have killer recipes too. So.
Oh man, I love the. I'm not like a chef or nothing, but you know, like I go to a lot of sushi bars and this and that, and you know, like I love like cooking everything I catch. You know, so you know, I'll do whatever it takes to figure out a recipe and you know, try to get down on it. So,
we appreciate it, and again, we appreciate Eric. You've done a lot to help us get this going. So,
appreciate being a part of it. You know, thanks for including
me. Definitely. Yeah. Well, until the next episode, guys. Thanks everyone for listening.
Cast and Craig.